You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reduction. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev.
Joining us now from TSN, he is an analyst. He is on their radio station out there, TSN 1050, good friend of Jason Sturdick. Jamie McLennan joins us. Noodles, thanks for giving us a few minutes. I wish you could see what I see right now, because Strutty has flip-flops on with sandals halfway up, or with socks halfway up his shins right now, and he's just owning it right now.
So he's what he is he's being like one of those 50-year-old dads that's out mowing his lawn on a Sunday afternoon, right?
That's exactly what he has to look right now, eh, Strutty?
I've given up, Noodles. I'm on the ice. I'm on the ice for 6 hours today. And I walked out. The last one's my own kids, all my kids' buddies, all my buddies and their wives are there. And I just gave right up. My feet are so sore. I walked out and looked like Al Bundy carrying all these bags. And I'm like, I don't even care. Where's Peg? Let's get out of here.
You know what? You gave up when you got married, let's be honest, because you didn't have to put the vibe out anymore. You didn't have to impress anybody. Shona, God love her, she's doing a lot of charity work now. Now she's signed on long-term with you. Honestly, you gave up then. She deserves a medal for that. And I can envision what you got going on. As long as you got a hat on, I'm happy.
No, there's no hat, unfortunately. His hair, I always say it looks like the floating green at TPC. You know, the 17th? Just that island green. That's what the top of his head looks like.
Couple divots. I know there's a couple divots there. We're all right, though. Replace them.
Well, the worst part, it gets bad because I'm skating around no helmet on the ice, so my hair just gets blown back. I look like Rob Brown after driving around in a convertible. So it's I've got a real problem out there. Sorry, Brownie, but you know it's the truth.
It's all good.
Jamie, thanks for joining us. Off-season nearing an end. It's been an interesting summer in the NHL. The Oilers made a couple moves, as the Toronto Maple Leafs. If there was one move in particular throughout the league this summer that you maybe raised an eyebrow to, what was the one move? Was it the Draisaitl contract? Was it Marlowe in Toronto? Was it a couple trades? What's the one thing that jumped out for you?
Okay, so Draisaitl contract, not at all. Pay the kid. He's a superstar, and I have no problem with him, with the Oilers eating up some of his quality play, and especially in the wheelhouse of the prime of his career. Like, this guy is just getting going. So I know there's a lot of debate when he plays with McDavid, when he doesn't. This guy's an engine, and he's going to drive no matter who he plays with. So I love it. Yeah, it raised a few eyebrows, Marlowe, especially knowing his personality a little bit. He's a real quiet guy, and he's going to a hockey crazy market. But, you know, in talking to people, and just as recently as today, he's not being brought in as the superstar. He's a borderline Hall of Famer, which we all know and love, and he's a terrific player. But if he was on the second or third line halfway through the season, yeah, you may complain a little bit about the term or about the money. But he's not the show for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Matthews, it's Marner, it's Nylander, it's Morgan Riley, it's Frederick Anderson, it's Kadri. So he can come in and play a supporting role and do a good job. For me, I don't even know if raising eyebrows. I love what the Dallas Stars did in the offseason. I think Dallas is a team that was an absolute tire fire because of the way that they played last year. Embarrassing. Yeah, you can blame the goalies. No problem. The goalies were no good. These guys couldn't play in their own zone if their life depended on it. So what do? They go and get a great defensive coach in Ken Hitchcock. They identify a goaltender who is a really good regular season goaltender in Ben Bishop, who can handle the puck. They go and get Mark Mathot, a guy who can help settle John Klingberg down. Mathot knows what it's like to play with a Swedish defender in Carlson. Now he's going to go with Klingberg. And they go and get Radulov. Yeah, they paid a lot of money for him, but I don't think Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn are going to argue about if he gets an opportunity to play with them. So I think Dallas is a team that had a great offseason. Does that translate to a regular season, them getting into the playoffs? Time will tell. But I think when I look at the offseason, some teams got better. Dallas is one of them.
What about just south of you there, the Buffalo Sabres? You know, they're maybe a team that has kind of gone the same way as what the Oilers have done and what Maple Leafs trying to build up through assets. Big change over this offseason. What do you see with this group? Are they trending in the right direction?
They are. I think the X factor for me has always been Robin Leonard. Robin Lehner is a talented goaltender, but does that translate into being a guy like Cam Talbot, where he was a guy who needed a chance and then seized it? To me, Lehner is always an X factor because he's a guy who runs hot and cold. Mentally, he runs that as well. He's had injury issues and consistency issues over his career. Does that translate for this group, a young group that needs stability? I don't know if Buffalo, some of their players don't get enough love. This Jack Eichel is a superstar. I've watched him play several times live, banged up right from the get-go last year. And if this guy, if you look at his points per game, if this guy would have had a full season, Buffalo would have guaranteed been a lot higher in the standings. I think they're a team that is trending in the right direction. Yeah, they've made some moves. They're progressive, bringing in a new general manager, new coach, and Phil Housley. I like what Buffalo's done, but how far away are they from getting to that next level? I think there's about four or five organizations, including the Edmonton Oilers, including the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I'm looking at Winnipeg, I'm looking at Carolina, I'm looking at Buffalo as three teams that are trending in the right direction with young talent that really haven't really got on everyone's radar yet if you're tracking the league.
We're joined by Jamie McLennan from TSN going around the NHL. The BioSteel camp is in full swing right now in Toronto, and yesterday Connor McDavid was asked about being ranked number one by the Hockey News. He says he doesn't agree with it. He thinks Sidney Crosby is still the best player in the game. If you were trying to win a Stanley Cup starting tomorrow, or if you're trying to win a cup next season, I think everyone would take Crosby over McDavid. If you're starting a franchise from scratch, you'd clearly take McDavid over Crosby, correct?
Absolutely, but that's only because Sidney Crosby turned 30. All people have ever done is, you know, at some point you're thinking Crosby's going to hit a wall. Crosby's going to this. He can't score. He can't do this. And concussions are catching up with him. All he does is just shut people up. And, you know, that being said, that's no slight on McDavid. I mean, McDavid, I think the guy wins a heart for a reason. He's an unreal player. And starting a franchise, absolutely, because McDavid is a young player. He's a lot younger than Sidney Crosby. But if their ages were the same, they're a little bit different player. Like, obviously, Connor is explosive speed and draws a lot with his speed, where Sid wins a lot of those down-low battles because of his low center of gravity and his drive. And I think Sid has a lot more accomplished and well-rounded game, but that doesn't mean Connor can't get there. So I love Connor McDavid, and I think it's, if we're talking a year from now, again, another season of what Connor's capable of doing, you know, Connor's going to surpass him. But right now, even if I know it's a coin flip, but Sidney, it's hard to argue with what he's done in the last, let's say, 20 months of his life. It's been pretty impressive for everything that he's put together with the couple cups and the Conn Smythe and everything.
Let's just go down south a little bit, Noodles, and talk about the Calgary Flames, who, you know, quietly made some pretty significant changes.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what they've done? Because I get the sense they're trying to compete maybe with the people just up north.
Well, they have to. I mean, think of that Battle of Alberta, and I love what the Edmonton Oilers have done as far as being tough and mean and tough to play against. You still have the talent, but you have to be able to back it up when you're going up against the likes of Anaheim and L.A. and teams that play a little bit more physical and heavier game. Edmonton can play any type of game you want. Calgary has that, and I think Calgary is still continuing to try and turn the corner. You go and get Hamonic. I like that move. I think their defensive core is as good as anybody in the league, and I know everyone's going to talk about Nashville and talk about a couple other teams that have that type of depth, but I think Calgary's right there. Mike Smith is interesting for me because I think he's a good goaltender, and what Calgary has needed is consistency in the net. They haven't had that since Mika Kiprusoff. Now, Mike Smith at 35, 36 years old, does he still have a couple good years left in him? I think it's possible if they play well in front of him. Keep in mind he's been playing in front of behind a tire fire in Arizona for many years. He handles the puck really well, and he's got mobile defense. So I think that scenario, you add in Eddie Lack, I think they at least upgraded a net. Their defensive core is really strong, and I think they're still missing a piece or two up front. As far as depth and skill, their right side kind of stands out for me. And I know there's talk of maybe Jágr, Doner, Ginla maybe sliding in on somewhere there in Calgary as a fit. You know, Strutty, you and I are biased. I think Jerome McGinley is the pick for me to still try and play one more year. But Calgary has a young core up front that is talented. It's just I see Edmonton as a little bit more depth up front there. So they've done some good moves to try and keep up with Edmonton. Be interesting to see those battles this year for sure.
You mentioned Jaromir Jagr and Jerome McGinley in that last answer, Jamie. Out of those three guys, I think clearly you guys think Jerome McGinley still has some left in the tank. But what about Shane Doan and Jaromir Jagr? Can both those guys contribute to a team somewhere?
Depends on where you get slotted. I think all three of them can still play, but are you going to ask them to play first-line minutes and compete against the young speedsters of the league every night? I would say if you slot them on the third line, and you know, depending on which organization, some power play time. I mean, Jagr can still produce. I still think he's as good as anybody from the dots down as far as holding onto the puck and the release, but he's not going to beat anybody one-on-one in the neutral zone with his speed. Ginla can still be a trigger man on the power play because the shot doesn't go, and he proved it last year when he got to L.A. is he's still got something left in the tank. And I'm a big fan of Shane Doan, but I always look at him as kind of an Ginla light. He's the same player as Ginla, but just not doesn't drop the gloves as much as Ginla, gets involved, but he carries a lot of weight too. He's a big guy. So if I had my choice between Ginla and Doan, I lean towards Ginla just because Ginla maybe adds one more dynamic that Doan doesn't. But all three of them can play, but are they going to play 23 minutes a night for an organization that wants to make the playoffs and win a Stanley Cup? I think those days are gone. I think they need to be farther down in your lineup if they're going to play at all.
I'd like to get your thoughts on the team that made some trades and was quite active and changing their front office and their coaching, talking about John Chyka leading the Arizona Coyotes, their offseason.
It's interesting for me because I think it's still a work in progress. I know the analytics community got pretty fired up when he got hired, and you seem to, for me, he still had some head scratchers because he goes and signs Luke Shen. Goligoski gets a big deal there. I know maybe his underlying numbers were strong, but he's a 30-year-old defenseman at that point. They've got a lot of moving parts. Now, I think if you're behind closed doors with Chyka and his group, there's probably a plan in place that takes place 5 years from now or 4 years from now with some of the young guys coming through because they do have a bunch of, like, young prospects coming up, and they've got to cycle through. I had no problem with them moving away from Shane Doan. I hated the way that they dealt with it. He deserved better as far as a captain and an ambassador of your organization, and to have a press release and kind of Shane's reaction didn't sit well with me. And sometimes maybe that's a learning curve either from a younger general manager or new ownership that you got to treat people, because to me that sent a ripple effect through the league where, you know what, like, it doesn't matter if you're going to move away from a player. That's business, and I 100% respected that and didn't have a problem with it. But people deserve respect. There's still a human part to this game, and I didn't love the way they handled it. But it's a business move, and you're a piece of meat. And when they're done with you, they can discard you. But I still think that's a moving target in Arizona because they've still got a lot to clean up.
Jamie, I want to get your thoughts on one of your former teams, the New York Islanders. I'm sure they were promised a brand new rink when you played there 20 years ago. But what's going to happen with the John Tavares situation? Is he going to sign not knowing where home is going to be?
I don't know. I mean, I would hope so. I feel bad because, I mean, Strutty, you've been in there. I've been there. There's so many people that love that organization and that almost behind-the-scenes pull for it because it's a great hockey market. The fans are so passionate. But, you know, at some point, they've got to get it together and either get a new rink or get some stability there. I called a game in that rink in Brooklyn, and the sight lines, the ice was awful. There was a car in the corner, parked in the corner, like where seats should be. I remember thinking, like, what the hell's going on here? And to me, it just, if they're going to stay there, great. Stay there and build a fan base and make sure the rink is fan-friendly and everyone's happy. If you're going to move, sort that out. I mean, if you're John Tavares, you're probably scratching your head and saying, what's going on here? and maybe they can keep a winger for me longer than 2 or 3 years before you move out. With you look at Matt Molson and Opozo and guys that he's had tremendous chemistry with have continued to move on. So it'd be interesting to see if Jordan Eberle comes in shape and has any type of chemistry. I think you're going to look at Jordan Eberle having a great season with him.
Jamie, I appreciate the rundown. You can get back to your off season. I appreciate taking some few time. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be on the Jason Greger show.
Yeah. Even if Greger's not even here, don't worry. But thanks, Noodles.
He's working out.
A floater, right? Taking time off.
He's trying to get some development on his legs. His legs are literally like chicken legs. So skinny. He's not even top heavy. It's like he's skinny everywhere, isn't he?
Thin man taking holidays. Nothing wrong with that.
Noodles, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I was Around the NHL, brought to you by Cougar Paint and Collision.